Sunday afternoon out here on the East Coast, or Monday morning out there on the West Coast. My name is Bay Ragney. You're listening to Totally Driven Radio Rocks. That's right, TDR Rocks. We're going to be live right now, and we're going to throw them horns up. We're going to crank it up. We're going to, like, make you scream, because we got the one, the only, the Hell Destroyer himself, Mr. Sean Peck. You might know him from the band Cage, Death Dealer, Denner Sherman, or you might know him now from the Three Tremors. That's right. He's teamed up with two other powerhouse vocalists, Harry Conklin and Tim the Ripper Owens, and they have an album that's coming out real, real soon called The Three Tremors. That's right. Go to thetreetremors.com for more information on the album, the tour. They're getting ready to tour the U.S. starting in a few weeks. And I got to talk to Sean the other day. And we're going to learn all about how this all came together. And it was actually in the works for quite a few years. And we're going to hear the dirt, the scoop, the info, the news, the information, all behind the Three Tremors. So without further ado, the Hell Destroyer, Mr. Sean Peck.
Hello.
Sean. Hey.
Yeah.
I was actually going back and like over 3 years since you last did the show. So, and then the scary part is, like, as I'm going through and reading about the whole Three Tremors, I'm like, damn, like, so you actually been working on this for 5 years.
Yeah, man, it's been, I mean, are we going through the thing right now? Are we getting into it now? Are we on?
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's do it.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, it's just, you know, I was camping one day. That's an inside joke, which I can tell you the inside joke part of it off the air. I just, you know, I'm always trying to think along the lines of innovating heavy metal from the idea department, not necessarily from a music department. I always say this because if you innovate too much with, you know, the kind of heavy metal that we do, you lose, you know, the essence of what it is. It's only so much experimenting musically you can do. So
sure.
I like to experiment in the ideas department, and I'm like, okay, so we just did a Cage gnarly horror concept album with a full book that went along with it. So, all right, what's my next brilliant idea? And I started thinking about the whole Three Tremors thing, and I'm friends with Roy Z, and, you know, I have a real detailed inside story from him on how that didn't happen, which I have not been sharing publicly because I don't want to get anybody in trouble or anything. and so I'm just thinking, like, man, you know, they're probably never going to do it. So, like, you know, why don't I just do it? You know, you think, like, well, why didn't you just call it something else? Well, the whole point of it is to call it the Three Tremors, because it was, you know, this urban heavy metal urban legend is what I've been calling
right.
it, you know, an unfulfilled prophecy. And, like, let's, you know, God damn it, if they're not going to do it, well, someone needs to do it. And what is the, you know, who are the two best other singers in the world that I can think of to have on this thing? And that's how the idea got started.
Yeah, I mean, because I think you described it best. It really has been like this urban legend. And, I mean, Jeff Tate was the one who was really kind of pushed for it over the last few years. And it just kind of went nowhere, which makes me wonder, like, did Jeff Tate, like, reach out to you guys and be like, you stole, like, the idea that I was working on?
Well, Jeff Tate had nothing, you know, it was not his idea at all. He kind of stole the Trinity thing, because Trinity, I think, was an alternate name that they were considering. So when he did the run with Blaze and Ripper, I know there were people in the outside camp that were a little like, well, that was the other name that we had. I don't feel like we're stealing anything. We're just, you know, if they announce tomorrow, like, we're doing the Three Tremors, they've got my blessing. Please do. You know, I will hope this would make Halford and Dickinson, you know, do the Three Tremors. But Tate was really the odd man out on it. He was the weakest link in the chain as far as the motivating factor. I mean, he was called in, and I know they also, you know, thought of Dio after the Tate thing didn't work out, and there are reasons why that didn't work out either. But, yeah, it was mostly, you know, Dickinson who's, I think, was the, you know, the guy that first talked about it. And just the kind of the stuff, you know, that was like, again, the urban legend part of it, like, oh, it was, would it be too difficult to do? And,
right,
you know, how would we do it? I kind of liked the challenge aspect of that. Like, okay, well, they say it's too difficult to do. Well, then let's go ahead and do it type of thing. So, you know, but like I said, it would be just, you know, the metal world was like deprived of this thing that could have been just amazing, we think. And, you know, they just did that one You Love to Hate song, which, you know, wasn't even really a Three Tremor song. They just actually got up once and sang it live together. And so, yeah, when I was kind of conceptualizing, and the other thing, you know, the name was never trademarked or anything. So, you know, we went ahead and took care of that. So we had solid legal footing. But, yeah, like I said, if they tomorrow said we're doing the Three Tremors, I would be like, yeah, man, go for it. This is the 2018, you know, American version of the Three Tremors. And I would love it if they put it together, because then we could go tour as the Six Tremors, and then that would be great.
There you go. There you go. Always thinking and always ready to market.
Yeah. Six Tremors, man. But I was just, you know, I'm not saying I'm along for the ride, but man, when you're up there on stage trying to sing with Ripper and Harry, it's just like, oh my God, those dudes are just so freaking good. It's really irritating how good both those dudes are. Because I get up there, man, I'm just trying not to embarrass myself and, you know, hang in there and hide in the shadows. And those dudes are both just freaking unbelievable live.
Now, what was their feelings like when you first approached them about doing this?
Well, there was one other guy that we had talked to initially, and then ended up, for a variety of reasons, not going with him, which I haven't publicly outed who that mystery person was. But Ripper was definitely the first idea. You know, I'm a huge fan of him, and, you know, me being a Judas Priest fanboy as it is, the Jugulator album was a real important album to me, because that's when we first did our Cage Unveiled album, you know, and that was okay. Like in that dark time of heavy metal, and Cage was just kind of like one of the few ones that were like, man, we don't care, we're heavy metal, and everyone was, you know, chasing the grunge trail still. And then, you know, right as we were working on our Unveiled, our debut album, you know, that Jugulator album came out, and I was just like, holy shit, you know, the way he sang, and then seeing him live and then opening for Judas Priest twice while he was in the band, I was just like instantly a fan. And then, yeah, we're both the same age and stuff, and we met and talked when we did the shows and kind of loosely kept in touch. So when I thought of this, you know, he was the first guy on my list. And so I hit him up and I'm like, oh, please, please, please do it. You know, cause it's like, just like, please do it. And he was totally into it, man. And he was really cool about it. And so, he jumped on board early, and basically, like, I got the lineup and then said, okay, so just hang tight. We're going to work on the music. I'll call you when it's time to record. And that was, you know, years afterwards. So we got Ripper, and then, while, you know, we were still thinking about the other guy, I was at a party in Germany with Harry. I just sang a festival when I did the little warrior stint that I did. And we were all at his house, you know, getting fucked up. And I started talking to Harry. I'm like, hey, man, I'm doing this Three Tremors thing, you know. What do you think about that? And he's like, yeah, man, I'd totally be into it. So I kind of had that in the back of my mind. And then when you know, the other guy, it didn't work out, I called up Harry, and he's like, yeah, dude, I'm totally in. So we, you know, it ended up being just a fantastic move to get Harry in, because, you know, I think it actually, you know, gods were had a hand in this one, because he was just perfect for it. And like live, he is just fucking unbelievable. He's so good live. He never hits a fucking bad note. Like I said, it's irritating how good he is. I'm just like, God damn, can you have a bad night once? He wakes up in the morning, like, I'll be just like, I don't want to talk after a show. You know, we did 17 shows on tour. You know, we did, like, it was gnarly too. It was like 6 in a row and then 11 in a row. And, you know, so we're all trying to save our voices, and I'm just like, you know, everyone's, waking up early. He wakes up at like 6 a.m. just going, "Hey, everybody! Oh, yeah, hey, hey!" And we're just like, Jesus. He's like singing Journey at like 7 a.m, like after a 2-hour set. So he's, yeah, he's a freak. And then super cool to hang out with too. So it ended up being like a real good move. And yeah, also once we started, we got the songs together, and it was a real, we were, you know, like, okay, God, I hope these guys like these songs. And that's why it took so long, is because we wanted to make sure that we had just killer, killer heavy metal songs, you know, because if you, all these all-star bands and super groups and projects and shit, it's like a kind of a football team where they get the best players, the best free agents, and then they never work out. You know, they don't like kick ass like they you think they should when you look at it on paper. A lot of those projects and supergroups, to me, they never deliver. And so I wanted to make sure, like, this was, you know, if you don't have good songs, it doesn't matter how good the singers are, how good the guitar players are, it's just going to be a bunch of shit. So we really took our time and, you know, got, the songs were so good, we were going to have like, this is going to be a bonus and that's going to be a bonus. And we liked all the songs so much and couldn't decide. We said, fuck it, no bonuses, 12 songs, they're all going on.
Nice. Now, like, how did you approach this any different than you would like a Cage album, or?
Did we, as far as the writing of the songs and
stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, me being, you know, before I even started singing, I was just a complete freak out fan, you know, diehard heavy metal kid. I mean, when I got into metal, I kind of got in late, like I was 16. And all my other friends were already like, dude, you know, they are already like, no, now you got to listen to this. So I was just like, once it got in my blood, you know, I had all these friends that were like metal mentors to me, like, check this out, check this out. And once I got, you know, the bug for it, being a fan, I always think, you know, from outside the band, I'm thinking like, okay, so I hear about this thing called the Three Tremors. It's three like killer freaking singers. What do I want it to sound like as a fan guy? Kind of how I took the approach. I take this approach to like all the stuff that I do, but really did it on the Denner Sherman stuff too. Cause I'm like, okay, so, you know, everyone loves King Diamond. Everyone loves Merciful Fate. Like, what are they going to want these songs to be about, to sound like, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of took the same approach for the Three Tremors, going, you know, I want it to be freaking, I want to hear the shit. I want to hear the like crazy, like over the top, you know, venomous with spite, badass vocals. I want them to overlap. I want it to be where you have to have three singers to actually be able to sing this song. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes we trade off, but, you know, I write overlapping kind of vocals anyways, and now I really had the opportunity to do it with this. And, you know, I just, delusions of grandeur. I wanted it to be over the top. Some reviews we get were like, it's too much. It's too much. And I'm like, I was taught that in metal is the music genre where it's not too much, where there's never too much, you know, as long as it's good. You don't, you know, I always wondered about people to review like the albums. It's a great album, but it's too long. Well, if it's a great album, like, why, you know, you want it never to stop. So
right.
I never could relate to that. And I can't relate to people like, oh, it's too much. I never like listen to Judas Priest and Halford wailing and go, oh, there's too much Halford hitting the high notes. Fuck. There's never enough of it for me. So I can't, you know, we just got a review. We're like, oh, it's a great album, but man, it's exhausting. I'm like, well, you're just a fucking pussy then if it's exhausting, you know. I can't even relate to that shit. You know, who listens to metal and says, oh, it's this Metallica album is so exhausting, I just can't handle it. So I can't even fucking get that. But yeah, we wrote, you know, I obviously have my writing style and stuff, and I wrote all the lyrics and the melody lines, but it, you know, every time we were putting it together, it was with the thought of, okay, there's three of us. How can we make it even more fucking, you know, awesome?
That's awesome. But that's the whole point. I mean, it's supposed to be like over the top with the three of you guys. I mean, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah. I mean, especially the three tremor. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you, so that's what we made the album cover looking like it was. You see this music video. I'm sure people are going to hate on the music video, but it's just like we're in a giant blown out world, and it's, there's like, you know, CGI kaiju monsters coming at us, and we're blasting them with machine guns. I mean, when I grew up with heavy metal, it was lasers, fire, dragons, monsters, skulls,
right.
You know, and like, I never could relate to the stripped down version of anything. I mean, I can relate to it. It's cool, but it's not my, you know, I come from comic book world where, you know, everything is just as crazy and as radical as it can be. And that's, you know, we put a lot of effort into this, to making it like that. We wanted the music, you know, to match it too. And if you're into this kind of heavy metal, you know, you see the three tremors, I wanted it to like exceed your expectations, not to go, oh, it's pretty cool. I want it to be a full expectation exceeder. One of the cool comments we've gotten from a lot of people is it makes them feel like they're in high school again. I fucking love that. We're getting a lot of that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. That's awesome.
You've heard the record, yeah. Right?
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah. It's like fucking
cool,
like horns up, like, you know what I mean? Like, exact. I think that, like, you summed it up, like feeling back in high school. Like, I need to put the denim jacket back on, the pins, the patches.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, you makes your hair stand up on your arm, and, you know, sneaking into a concert and just fighting your way to the front row, and just, you mean, all that shit that went with, you know, your early years in heavy metal. And so that's the spirit of this thing.
That's awesome. That's, you know, that's the thing too. Like, I was like, as I was going through like all the pictures and stuff from the tour you guys did over in Europe and all, and it totally had like that old, like just looking at the crowd, like the old school metal feel. And I was just like, man, bringing it back. I mean, that's just an awesome thing.
Yeah. And it was, we had a few people that would come up to us after the show, you know, you'd be like, thank you, good night. And then the people would, you know, you talk to the people, and there were some people that are like, may I talk with you for a moment? And we're like, okay. Like, I want to tell you, we came here completely skeptical, ready to shit on this whole thing, and it was fucking amazing. And so there was the people that came like fully skeptics, and there's the other people that would be like, I want to tell you something, I have seen over 1,000 metal shows, and this fucking blew my mind. So there was like tons of that, which is really cool. You know, that's the intent. You know, that's the intent is to just come out with a freaking, you know, nuclear warhead that just like flash fries the whole fucking audience, like right when it hits. And it was, you know, we toured with the album not being out for 3 months after that. It was kind of unorthodox. So the people had really only heard two songs from the lyric videos. And we played the entire album, you know, all 12 songs, plus, you know, some selected, you know, pre-songs and some Cage shit and Jack Panzer shit. And the reaction to the song, you know, first time out, these people are like, they've never heard any of this stuff. And the reaction to every one of those songs was fucking great. And, you know, when you do an album, there's some songs, you know, because I have experiences with Cage. I mean, there's some songs that I absolutely love on our records that just for some reason live, like I just can't recreate it, or it just doesn't have the same, it just doesn't work live as good as it does on the album. And so there were some songs on this that I was like, you know, maybe we won't play them. We're like, oh, fuck it. We played it. And totally surprised. Like, it totally fucking worked live. It went over like way better than I thought it was going to go over. So that was a pleasant surprise.
Wow. Yeah, that's the thing. As I'm going through again, like the pictures on the Facebook and all, and reading all the comments, I mean, everybody was generally like blown away and so excited by each show, it looked like. I was just like, wow, man, I can't wait for this in the States.
Yeah, and then, like, we only had two rehearsals, and for all the moving parts and shit, you know, I knew all the songs. I was doing rehearsal with the guys where I would have to sing the entire set myself, which was a fucking, you know, insane task. So I had to kind of unlearn the songs. I had to learn what not to sing. And then the other guys, you know, had to learn what to sing, and then we had to make some adjustments. We only had two practices. So by the time we hit the first show in Cyprus, I was just like fuck, dude, this thing is loose. Like, this isn't ready for prime time yet. And I was just went and was watching some of the videos. It was fucking sick, man. Even the first show was like really good. And there's some ad-libbing, you know, sometimes like Harry will just like bust in and take a line like that I'm supposed to take. And I'll just look at him and go, oh, okay, well, I guess you're doing this one here. So it's still, you know, it's still kind of a little bit of freestyle, but you know, even the first show, I came over really good. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought we were going to be fucking shit up left and right. And it actually went over really good. And, you know, we dialed it in. We learned, you know, what not to sing and traded a few parts. We used the album as kind of a guide, and we made some adjustments. And, you know, like I said, we're able to, it's cool having three singers, because, you know, it allows you to do 11 shows in a row. Like, I wasn't stressing out about my, I even caught a cold like early. I was so fucking pissed. I got a cold like six shows in. But I was never stressed out on the voice. I'm like, oh, well, I got these two dudes here. I can just fucking fake it till I make it. You got you know, when there's three of you guys singing it, even though it's like, it's about a 2-hour set. It definitely helps to have two other dudes where you don't have to carry the whole load. So that was kind of nice.
Now there was a moment, I think it was the last show that Michael Denner joined you guys on stage, and people seemed like they were losing their mind over that.
That was so cool. I mean, Copenhagen is like my second home over there because of the Denner Sherman thing. I mean, I've been there so much with all the shows we've done and rehearsals, and you know, I've got all kinds of bros over there. So Copenhagen is like my second European home. And Hank was going to do it, but Hank got tied up, so he couldn't do it. So Michael did it. And yeah, you know, the other guys didn't. It was just kind of me doing most of it. And then Ripper was just sitting in the back kind of going, ah! In certain parts. You know, he was just like throwing some wails for me. And yeah, the crowd went nuts, man. And that was great doing some, we did Black Funeral and Curse of the Pharaohs. And that, right. The last show was really good in Copenhagen. This club called High Voltage. It's just a raging, for anyone that goes to Copenhagen, go to the High Voltage. It's super, super metal and rock and roll. And Martin, the owner, is awesome. And it was a great way to end the tour, because the place was just, it was pretty packed. And it was just a wild, wild night, man. Really fun.
That's awesome. Now, how about you guys used Pledge Music for the album? Did you ever use Pledge Music before for any of your other projects? Or
No. You know, the publicist Chip, he's like, we got to do Pledge Music. And man, I built what some people are calling the most elaborate Pledge Music store, like in the history of the site. It's got like a billion items. Million combinations, and you know, it was cool because you can update it. So I put like I recreated the tour. So like every day, like day one of the tour, I've sent out our little tour videos, which were really cool. So people could kind of like experience what that was all about. Their little 3-minute tour videos, and you know, showing us running around and playing and shit. And yeah, the response has been fantastic for that. So we've got, like I said, we've got every bottle openers, freaking baseball cards, you know, vinyl, digipacks, flags, shirt, 3 different shirts. So there's so much cool shit in there. And we're, you know, the album comes out January 18th, so we're in the middle of like packaging everybody's shit up. So it's like a second Christmas for everybody.
You know, that's funny. It's exactly what I was saying to myself as I was looking at the stuff. I'm like, this is like a metal Christmas. I mean, it really is. The packaging, everything there. I was just like, holy shit. Like, I need to get one of these. It's just like, I mean, so much killer stuff between, like you said, trading cards, pick posters, lanyards, bottle openers, patches. I mean, there's so much stuff. I mean, I was like, holy crap.
We got it all, man. I couldn't even think of what else to put on there. We got so much. You know, our shipping department is just, I was just over there the other day and just stacked to the frickin' ceiling with all this shit, hoodies now. So it's, yeah, it's cool, man. And, you know, the we didn't have the album for sale on the road. You know, everyone's like, I want the album. We're like, well, we have these download cards. You can download these four songs. Everybody's like, I am not interested in a download card. I want the album. I'm like, okay, shit. So, yeah, so we sold a ton of shirts. I mean, you see the artwork from Mark Sasso, who does the Dio stuff and the Halford
right.
stuff and all the Cage, and he did some Death Dealer. So, yeah, the merchandise sold crazy. Like, we sold a shit ton of shirts and hoodies and shit while we were out there.
That's awesome. You think that's kind of like the way now to sell music? I mean, because, you know, because sales are down across the board for music itself in general, actual physical copies of music. You think that's the route to go now, is to make these like amazing packages like you did to make it like a Christmas?
I think so, especially for metal, man. I mean, metal has a lot of collectors, you know. And I actually recently started, like, I'm buying CDs. I'm like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to start start pre-ordering shit. So I'm kind of in that thing where I'm buying the physical product and I'm getting the shirts and I'm supporting the scene. So I'm totally into it now.
Right.
I'm always looking for the pledge shit and cool stuff like that. So it's fun to support it. And we didn't do we did a pledge store. We didn't say like, hey, if we hit 10,000, we'll do this. We didn't do it like a Kickstarter thing. We just did it like, hey,
right.
the shit's coming out and here's where to get it. But yeah, like I said, the collectors, you know, especially in metal people support, you know, who they love. They want to wear the shirt and they want to have the cool digipack. That's the other thing about, all the products I've done through my whole history, I've made sure that, you know, the CD packaging is just like over the top. Like, the artwork inside the digipack booklet is insane. I mean, there's like just every page is just like splattered full of cool shit to look at. So when you
nice.
Get that digipack, it is going to be fucking glorious.
Yeah, it's funny because my best friend, he's been friends for, Christ, 43 years now, since kindergarten. And he's also my tattoo artist. And I took my daughter a couple weeks ago, it was her 21st birthday, and she wanted a tattoo. So she got her first tattoo, and we're sitting there and we're bullshitting as he's doing it and all. And he was saying about the new King Diamond. And he was telling me, he's like, dude, you know what? Like, I ordered, he goes, it's like a whole package. And it was like $100, $150, whatever it was. He's like, but dude, you get so much stuff. It's so freaking worth it now. He's like, I love the way bands are doing this now with the whole packaging, because you're paying a lot more, but you're getting so much quality product out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I do that. You know, they do that with video games. They do the pre-order, and that's real easy for them because a lot of the pre-order stuff you get is just digital. You know, click a button and download shit. But a lot of the video game stuff, I always order the ones that have like the statues. With
right.
like the God of War, I got the one that has the statue and stuff. And we were actually, for this album, I mean, there we went pretty far down the road of making three statues. There's going to be that were modeled off that album cover. And it just like, I had it all set up. I had the guys starting to model it and everything. So we might do that on the second album, but we had so much shit on our plate. We're like, all right, fuck it. We're not going to do the statues this time. But I definitely want a statue of myself. So I can at least put it on my shelf, but maybe someone else will buy it. I don't know. But yeah, I'm all about the packaging. I'm all about the physical, getting your hands on it. That's my finals. Put on your wall. And it's kind of the future. And I still struggle with the streaming thing because it's just like, if I don't know who streams an album and then goes, oh, I need to order it now and buy it. Like, why are you buying it when you just listen to it right there by clicking a button? You know, you're only getting the booklet. So I really struggle with the streaming things. I don't know if the Three Tremors is even going to be on streaming sites. We're still trying to decide whether we're going to put it out there or not, or wait.
It's a whole weird thing. I know, like myself, like if I go out and see bands, like I buy CDs, you know, to support bands, but I don't even like open them or listen to them because I do the whole streaming thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you can, you know, that's why people are like, hey, my new album is for sale. And the whole thing is stream. When people stream their albums for free, like right out of the gate, like I never got that. Like I didn't understand that at all. So, you know, this, we're going, you know, pretty old school. It'll be, obviously be available on iTunes, but if you want to hear the CD, like, it's not going to be on any of the streaming services. You're going to have to buy it and get it and do something to get it. And it's totally worth it, man. It is, this, like I said, this is one of my favorite albums maybe that I've ever done.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Now, you had said about a second album, and you, I think it was in the bio too, like, this is not a side project. This is a true band. So second album is definitely going to happen then, and it's not going to be 5 years.
No, it's not going to be 5 years. Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, we were doing some interviews like way early on when the three of us got together for rehearsals, and it was like, is there going to be another album? And, you know, Tim's like, yeah, why not? I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm glad he's down for it. And then we really had a good time, you know, together as a group too. That's kind of why when I first thought about doing this, I was going to get like all kinds of different musicians to contribute. And then I said, you know what? I pulled back on that and said, like, let's just keep it in-house, and we'll have the Cage guys do it. And, you know, really downplaying the Cage part of it, because I didn't want anyone to have any preconceived notions as to what this would be. But I knew, you know, going on extended road trips with these dudes, like, everyone in the band is like super freaking cool, and it's so much fun, man. Everyone, it's just it's a constant crack up. There's no cragedy, freaking grumpy bitches in the group. I mean, everyone is just like living for the glory of steel and happy to be on the road, even when shit goes fucking sideways, you know. There are no stressors or panickers. And so when we got Harry and Tim in, you know, we're like, okay, well, you know, I've known the guys, but we haven't really fucking, you know, hung out and slept at the same hotel for weeks at a time and been around each other for a fucking month straight. And it ended up being just great, man. We're just like, just the whole group was just a group of bros, and it was so much fucking fun. So I think that's definitely a reason why, you know, Harry and Tim are really enthusiastic about this, because it was a fucking blast, you know. And I definitely, I mean, it's fun. It was really fun to perform, but the other downtime and shit, you know, you got to have fun too. And so I was really happy how we all came together as just, you know, like a group of just bros, man. We're like, you know, we call each other for unrelated band shit just to see what the fuck's going on. I bust Harry's balls on how the Denver Broncos suck. me and Tim talk about the Browns and shit all the time, and his Ohio State Buckeyes. And so that was a main, you know, a real good move to assemble it like we did. And that's definitely one of the reasons why we're like, okay, yeah, let's definitely start working on another record. And we have so many offers. I mean, we have, you know, it's likely once we get everyone's schedules worked out, you know, we're definitely going back to Europe. We've got Australia, we've got Japan, we've got South America. So there's like a shit ton of offers pouring in for us to go play. And once we get schedules worked out, you know, that stuff's going to be coming to fruition. And that's kind of what I did with the Death Dealer thing is, you know, we want to, like, going back to that super group project thing. If it's a project, like, it's just like, okay, I'll check it out. But if it's a band and you're like, hey, these fucking guys are coming to my town too, I'm gonna see this thing live. And now that we've already toured before the album comes out, so there's no question that this is a band. Like, it's been done. We already toured one section already, so I think that definitely helps and it makes people value it more. And the sky's the limit, man.
Do you think this could end up being like your main project out of everything you do?
You know, I wouldn't have a problem with it being my main project at all, because it's already got all the Cage guys in it. So it's not, I'm not abandoning, you know, my bros or anything.
Right.
And so we get, you know, it opens up opportunities for us. So I wouldn't have any problem with it being the main project at all. I mean, like I said, it's fun. Everyone's fun to hang out with. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, everyone's still fitting in all their other stuff. You know, Harry's got Jack Panzer tour coming up. Ripper's doing, you know, a million shows with the Dio Hologram thing. And he's got his solo stuff. I'm finishing up a Death Dealer record. We're probably going to do a Death Dealer tour maybe by the end of the year. And then I'll probably start working on a Dennis Sherman record also again. So all that other stuff's still going to go on. But, you know, as far as who's most active, I mean, it might, the Three Tremors might end up being the one that's most active from a live touring standpoint.
That would be cool. That would be super cool.
Nice. So, yeah, it would.
Oh, actually, okay. So the tour starts Valentine's Day, 6 weeks.
Yeah, my girlfriend's super stoked on that. So what are we doing for Valentine's? Like, I'm playing a concert in Seattle. What are you doing? I fucking hate you. So, yeah, that's going over really great. But,
dude, I was
you know,
same exact thing. I was like, I wonder if he's getting any flack for that.
I'm like, fuck, every day's Valentine's Day for you, the way I treat you. Come on, baby.
There you go.
Come on, baby. But, yeah, that's kind of funny.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so, you know, once you get back in a month, it'll be Valentine's Day all over again.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but my girlfriend's got it made. She's on Easy Street. So she got nothing to fucking complain about.
Oh, too funny. Too freaking funny.
she used to date like real rock stars. I don't want to put it out there, but she used to date like monster rock stars. And like, I'm just a freaking, you know, she just mocks me all the time. Like, you're not, you think you're like, I'm like, I don't think I'm shit, man. I'm just having fun doing my metal thing. But you know, the guys that I'm having to compete with in her eyes from a music success, I'll never fucking even come close because she's dated some of the big names. So I'm just like a little baby garage band her no matter what I do. Like, it doesn't matter if I win a fucking Grammy and she still wouldn't give a shit. But I digress. It's pretty funny.
Oh, man. Well, you're going to be rolling in this area March 2nd, so I'll be there to see you. And
where's that?
In Delaware. Delaware. Bar 13.
Oh, sweet. Well, that's going to be a good show. Now, the last time Cage played there, it was freaking packed, man. So I can't – this is going to be loaded. That was one of the funnest shows we did on the East Coast with Cage. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be packed. It's a few friends of mine's bands are opening up too, and they're freaking badass. So it's going to
be
a good
night.
Yeah. Oh yeah, big time. So yeah, it's going to be packed. Be ready.
Oh, we'll be ready. Yeah, we're gonna, like I said, we play. You know, we bust out a Cage song, we bust out a Jack Panzer song, and then we do some classic. We do. We do Painkiller and The Sentinel, and then Ripper also does Burn in Hell off Jugulator. And we're like, what songs should we do? Like, oh, we're not doing Living After Midnight or Breaking the Law. Actually, we played both of those one show in Greece because the promoter, like, begged us to play them. And we had no rehearsal, no nothing. We went out and did it. It was pretty fun. And but, yeah, I wanted to do, like, you know, okay, my favorite Priest song is The Sentinel. We're doing it. Okay, why not do Painkiller with the three of us? Like, okay, you've never seen Painkiller like this before. It's all I have to do is I just sit back and just go, like on all those ones. I just do those big dive bomb screams. I just sit there the whole time. The other guys sing it. But, yeah, I wanted to make sure, like, okay, we're not doing, some meager pre-songs. We're doing like the top two, as far as I'm concerned. So those are fun to do and they always go over great.
That's freaking awesome. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Like, it's a 2-hour set, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, and it fucking goes quick, man. We, you know, we get to the encore and we're like, fuck, we're already here. Jesus Christ. So, for us, it seems to go by quick and, really looking forward to it, man. It's looking forward to get back up there and just unleashing this thing again.
Cool. Very cool. So, all right, where should we send everybody to find out more about the Three Tremors, The3tremors.com,
the3tremors.com, the3tremors.com, spelled out, door. You got all kinds of good shit on there. There's ticket links for the shows. Like I said, if fans of classic heavy metal, power metal, speed metal, it's kind of like a power, most of it's kind of like power thrashy stuff. You know, we cover a lot, the album covers, you know, a lot of different shades of there's some stuff that's kind of like riot-ish. There's, you know, the Painkiller stuff. There's the Cage vibe. A couple good mid-tempo metal church kind of ones. So it's got it all in there. So go out and get this record, man. You won't be tell them, man. You heard it. Tell them.
Awesome. Can't wait. Three Tremors. The3tremors.com. Everybody get there. Go there. And don't forget Pledge Music, too.
Pledge awesome. Music. It's got it there, too. Thanks for having me, man. That was fun.
Absolutely, Sean. Take care, man. I'll see you in March.
We'll see you out there. Bye-bye.
Who knows what dangers we when will we know we're not alone? When comes and lays us to a hold. If we don't hear, we come in peace. The human rights will be extinct.
hands. Drowning sinners will go away. We come destruction up in nations. They'll be the first to kneel and pray. One final soldier will stand alone. He's fighting this war for the throne. He will return by prophecy. Iron eyes full of flames and on fire, robe drenched in blood. He is the judge. After the fall, he'll come and smite them all with his blade.
Tremors. Played a couple tunes for you. I hope you dug them. Hope you had them horns up. I hope you freaking headbanging like a mofo, because you can't help it. I mean, classic freaking metal to the extreme by the Three Tremors. And I just played for you. That was When the Last Scream Fades, and before that one was Invaders from the Sky. Like I said, go to thethreetremors.com for more information on the album and all the, you know, pre-orders and tour dates and all the info about the Three Tremors. That's right, thethreetremors.com. And look for us, Bay Ragney, Totally Driven Radio, TDR Rocks. Just look for Totally Driven Entertainment, Totally Driven Radio, or myself, Bay Ragney, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And totallydriven.tv. go there. Check it out. Until next time, remember these very, very important words I have to say to you. Stay driven.